All right, everybody, here we go. We are now here for episode 4 of the I Know What I'm Talking About. Yes, that's with a B. Bout podcast. And so for the topics for episode 4, we're going to go into two different segments. First segment is going to be about NBA free agency. And the second segment is going to be about the NFL. I'm going to finally touch base on the NFL today. So let's go ahead and get it. Sorry, I'm a day late. I was out of town yesterday, the day that I usually record, which is Sunday. I was out of town. I was at a ThriftCon. I was at ThriftCon in Houston. So yeah, I was doing that, but now I'm here. I'm ready to do this with this sweet red wine. Cupcake. The taste of the wine is sweet red with the taste of a cupcake. It's really good. Highly recommend. But anyways, let's go ahead and get into it. So we're gonna start out with NBA free agency. So DeJounte Murray was traded to the Atlanta Hawks. For a lot of draft picks and a player that's not even on the Spurs roster anymore, as of right now. The Spurs had 3 first-round picks. They had the 9th, the 20th, and the 25th pick. I thought they were going to at least try and trade the 9th pick for sure, and the 20th pick, which was... Oh, well, yeah, the 9th pick and the 20th pick, and trade Jakob Poeltl. And if not Jakob Poeltl, Keldon Johnson. They ended up not doing neither. And they traded DeJounte Murray, which I was shocked about, because I felt like they could have at least gotten an all-star with the 9th pick, a top 10 pick, and the 20th pick. And Keldon Johnson or Jakob Poeltl, they could have at least gotten All-Star. You would have lost one solid role player, yeah. But still, you would have gotten All-Star in return. You weren't going to lose 2 or 3 good role players, young good role players. You were going to just lose one. But, I mean, Greg Popovich has already committed to next season. He said that he's told the higher-ups already he's going to coach next season. So they are in full rebuild mode. I didn't expect him to go into rebuild mode like that. I knew it was going to eventually come very soon, but I didn't think this upcoming season would be it. Because I believe this is the second season in a row that they were in the play-in. I believe, or was it 2020, the bubble, and this season that they were in the play-in. Either way, it doesn't matter. They didn't make the playoffs. But it was a shock to me, because I felt like they could at least got an all-star, and DeJounte Murray would at least been playing. They would have been playing for a real playoff spot, not just playing for the play-in. They would have really been playing to get into the playoffs for real. I don't think that they would have even been playing in the play-in if they would have at least gotten an all-star. But, I mean, it is what it is, though. So now I want to move on to the Lakers. The Lakers were 11-12 whenever Westbrook, LeBron, and AD played. And they were 23-39 when one or more of them were out. So they only play like 22 games. I mean, 23 games. 23 or 24 games together. That is not a good amount. At all. That is not good at all. So, I mean, you can basically say they really didn't have no chemistry together last season. LeBron, AD, and Westbrook, they really didn't have no chemistry together. So that's why, you know, they were just bad last season. And then Westbrook, yeah. Y'all saw him. So, and then Ham, the new head coach, seems like he's committed to Westbrook. Despite all these trade rumors, I mean, I don't know if it could also be a thing if he's just doing the right thing and telling the media that because he's still on the roster. But I don't know because, you know, like my last guest, Marcus, said last week, even if they do trade for Kyrie, you don't know how Kyrie's going to feel when he wake up in the morning. Westbrook's going to come to play. You ain't got to worry about that with him, about him being at the facility or not. About him wanting to take a 2-week paid leave. You ain't got to worry about that with Westbrook. He going to come to play. For real. But, I mean, like I said, I don't know if Darvin Ham is just saying that because he's still on the roster and that's the right thing to say about Westbrook, or if he's saying something we're not really paying attention to, as if Westbrook's probably going to be on the roster next season. I don't know. It's up in the air. We'll have to wait and see on that. But I want to get the last thing I want to talk to about the NBA free agency in the first segment is the Timberwolves and the Nets. So I seen that last week that Karl Anthony Towns and Anthony Edwards and 4 first-round picks were offered to Kevin Durant. They were offered for Kevin Durant to the Brooklyn Nets. That is way too much. And yes, Rudy Gobert has something to do with that. The Timberwolves gave up way too much for him. I mean, way too much. They gave up that amount of assets like he's a prime Shaq. They gave up 6 first-round picks for him. Yes, 6. They gave up first-round picks going all the way to, like, 2027. And they gave away their first-round pick of, you know, this season. So that would be the 6th pick. The 6th first-round pick. And they gave away, I believe, like, 3 players and 1 solid player that they had coming off the bench, Jared Vanderbilt. Rudy Gobert is not even close to being that type of value. Hell no. That might turn into the Brooklyn Nets, Boston Celtics situation with, you know, when they traded and gave up all those picks just to get KG, washed up KG and Paul Pierce that weren't in their prime no more. That's what this is going to end up looking like. You give up that much for one player? He is not a prime Shaquille O'Neal. That's not a prime Shaquille O'Neal or maybe a prime Dwight Howard coming out of Orlando. 6 first-round picks and like 3 or 4 players? And all you're getting is just him? Oh, man. I really don't know about that. But the Brooklyn Nets, I still don't think that was too much what they're asking for Kevin Durant. Anthony Edwards, Karl Anthony Towns, the 4 first-round draft picks. That's too much. I think it's the players. I wouldn't give up both of them. I would just give up Karl Anthony Towns. I would give him up and say you can have him and you can have you can have him and you can have 3 first round picks. I think that would be good enough. Him and 3 first round picks. Not 4, 3. Because, I mean, he's improving every season, I feel. He had 60 last season, this past season against the Spurs. Even though the Spurs weren't really a playoff team, but still, he had 60. And it was a road game. So, I mean, that was a little bit too much for Kevin Durant. And Rudy, like I said, Rudy Gobert has something to do with that. Because now they feel, oh, we, y'all, you know, Rudy Gobert was dealt for that. Okay, well then Kevin Durant's worth more than that. So we want your whole roster. And if not your whole roster, we want at least four players and your next 6 to 7 first round picks. It's getting ridiculous now. But me personally, I would have gave up just Karl Anthony Towns and 3 first round picks. Not knowing how Ben Simmons is going to be feeling. Not knowing what's going on in his head. You know, what's going on with him mentally. Because I know he's lost right now. I know he's most definitely lost. Because he really don't know who's going to be on the roster. And from what it's looking like right now. I mean, for players like Kevin Durant, it's, you know, he's going to be on the market for a while. Because of the type of player he is. Isn't, you know, dealing him is not going to happen within the next 48, 72 hours of him requesting a trade. That's going to be a 2 to 3 week process. Probably the same thing for Kyrie. Even though Kyrie's already said where he wants to go. But, I mean, we'll see. But my problem is what the Nets are asking for him. They're asking way too much for Kevin Durant. It's ridiculous. Your best two players that you're building around and 4 first-round draft picks, that doesn't make any sense. Why would they literally give away their future? Like, they're actually giving away their future for someone who's 34 years old. That doesn't make no damn sense at all, for real. But, I mean, that's what the Nets value him at, which is a little bit too much. But I feel like he's going to get dealt before training camp starts, most definitely. If Brooklyn can find something for him. Because that 4-year deal, he don't have no... He doesn't have no player option on there. It's a straight up, I'm going to play this contract out. Because he probably thought he was going to end his career in Brooklyn. That's why he ain't got no player option on there. On the 4th season. The last year of the contract. But we'll see what's going to happen with Durant. So I want to move on to the NFL now. I want to start off with Baker Mayfield. So I was watching Undisputed a couple of days ago. Well, not a couple of days ago. I was watching it on Thursday or Friday, and Shannon Sharp and Skip Bayless were going back, you know, back and forth about Baker Mayfield, you know, if he's a bust or not. I don't think Baker Mayfield is a bust. I mean, the man has had, I think he's, you know, Hugh Jackson, Stefanski. I think he's on his 3rd head coach now. I don't know how many offensive coordinators he has. I think he's on his 2nd different head coach now. And he's on, I think, his 7th offensive coordinator. So he's never gotten comfortable with one system. It's always been, you know, almost every training camp, he's having to learn something different. That 7 number might be wrong, but I know he's had quite a few offensive coordinators while he's in, while he was in Cleveland. I wouldn't label him as a bust because he's, you know, we've seen what he's looked like. He's at least he's been above average. Because they got to the divisional round. They beat Pittsburgh on the road and got to the divisional round. One year. So I wouldn't label him as a bust. But he has not met expectations of a first overall pick. For damn sure, he most definitely hasn't, you know, met those expectations. But I would not label him as a bust. Because he has not gotten comfortable with one coach, you know, one system, one playbook. He hasn't really gotten comfortable with that. So, I mean, it kind of, you know, bothers me to say this, but you got to cut him some slack a little bit. Because now he's with the Carolina Panthers, so now he's got to learn a whole different playbook now. And he's got to compete for the job, even though he's expected to win, but still. But I would not label him as a bust. He just has not met the expectations that a number one overall draft pick would, you know, accomplish by now. So now I want to move on to the last part of the second segment, which is, you know, my NFL segment. I want to talk about the Dallas Cowboys real quick. They had some pretty key, some important people leave last season. I know Amari Cooper left. Jerry Jones wasn't really feeling the fact that he missed 2 games in a row last season. Because of COVID. I know he missed 1 game. He missed against the Kansas City Chiefs. They lost that game 19-9. I remember that game. That was in October. On the road. He didn't play that game because of COVID. He missed. He was in quarantine for 10 days. So he missed 2 games. I can't remember who they played the next week. But he missed that game too. So, I mean, they see that as inexcusable. Those were the only 2 games he missed, but they see that as inexcusable. Plus, he didn't even reach 1,000 yards. I think he only had like 819 receiving yards the whole season. I mean, every game, he would be limping almost every single game that he was playing in. And I don't think he's still not vaccinated. I mean, he said it himself. He wanted to stay out of intense, important conversations that needed to be had. He wanted to stay out of it. So, I mean, I feel like they still could have dealt with him, but they most definitely took a step back. Lyle Collins is gone. They probably got tired of him, to be honest. He missed 5 games because he missed multiple drug tests. And then when he came back, he had to fight with Terrence Steele for playing time. And then, of course, Tyron Smith gets hurt. Then Steele has to go to left tackle. And then Lyle is right back, you know, starting at right tackle. Probably not in that good of a shape. In good of shape. But I guess they dumped them too because they wanted, you know, more dependable players. You're losing talent, most definitely, but you want to go with people who are more dependable. I feel like with them too, all you need to do is sit down with them and have a long conversation with them. Just basically tell them, like, Coop, I understand, you know, you have your rights, you know, you do what you want to do. You're a grown-ass man. we understand, but you need to take a look at, you know, the fact you're not vaccinated. You're putting your teammates at risk of missing games. Of course, you're putting yourself at risk of missing games. I would just sit down and have a conversation with him about that. I wouldn't cut him. Same thing with Lyle Collins. I wouldn't cut him either. I can't remember. He missed one of the tests because he was at a funeral. But, I mean, they just don't see them two as, I guess, dependable anymore. So they rather go with Terrence Steele, who only started 13 games last season. Which, when they can just sit down with Amari and sit down with Lyle and just have a conversation with them. And just tell them to just straighten up and what you're risking. Both of y'all are overgrown ass men, so you know what you're doing. And then Cedric Wilson, who was their, you know, a big time slot target for them, he's gone. He's in Miami now. I mean, Dallas probably lowballed him, probably wanted him to take a team-friendly deal, which probably he wasn't probably making that much more money anyways. So, honestly, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm a realistic Cowboys fan. I don't see them winning the division this season. Honestly, the only team, I mean, they could win the division because of Dak, if Dak stays healthy. But it's just, last season, they were first in yards per game. They were second in pass yards per game, third in receiving yards, and 10th in rushing yards. Now, defense, they were pretty much middle of the pack in everything else. Defense, you know, rushing defense, middle of the pack. Pass defense, middle of the pack. So they were pretty much an average defense last season. When you watch them play, you might think different, but if you look at the numbers, it's average. But offense, oh no. Yards per game, they were averaging 407 yards per game, which was first. So, I mean, they're most definitely not going to be at 407 yards per game this next season, the 2022 season. You got Michael Gallup, who's going to be the first option. He's coming off of an Achilles injury. I mean, not an Achilles, an ACL injury. He had an Achilles injury before his ACL injury. That's who you're going to take a risk on? You're going to get rid of Coop, who just missed two games because of COVID, because he's not vaccinated? And I know he got fined, too, because I know him and CD were at a Mavs game sitting courtside, and he's not vaccinated, but CD was. I don't know why this is supposed to be, like, all-in type of thing, but I don't know about that no more. Because the Eagles drafted really well. They drafted really well. They got some steals in the draft. And they got A.J. Brown, which when he's healthy, He's a top five receiver, in my opinion. He's top five when he's healthy. Because he's a big, he's, you know, he's a big 50-50 ball receiver. And he can go up there and get it. We've seen him. Yeah. But, I mean, to be realistic, I see Philadelphia winning at least out of that 17 game season. I see Philadelphia winning at least 10 games. Dallas, I probably see them doing what Philadelphia did, 9-8 and missing the playoffs. I mean, well, Philadelphia didn't miss the playoffs, but I could see them not winning the division, but still making the playoffs and having a road playoff game. 9-8 road playoff game. Road wild card playoff game, to be specific. Even though they still have the best quarterback in the division. Wouldn't put Carson over Dak. Wouldn't put Jalen over Dak. Wouldn't put Daniel Jones over Dak. For damn sure, not him. But, I mean, we'll see. Mike McCarthy's not in a good position either to keep his job either, because it's not even fair, because he doesn't have no control of nothing. If it was up to him, Coop and Collins probably would still be in a Cowboys jersey. But, I mean, that's why there has not been no Super Bowl, no NFC Championship appearance since 1996. January of 1996. But that's a wrap for today. Episode 5 will be next week. Same time. Hopefully, probably Sunday. Most definitely Sunday. So, keep an eye out on the Instagram account. Keep an eye out on that, you know. And just be ready. 7:30 Sunday.